Now we're going to have a reading from Isaiah. The messenger brings good news.
How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, "Your God reigns." Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now we have a reading from Luke's Gospel.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
A story of peace at Christmas. Many stories have emerged from the First World War, tales of heroism, loss, and sacrifice. But perhaps the most remarkable of all is the story of what happened at Christmas 100 years ago.
December 1914, and the war is 6 months old. As the autumn rains begin, the opposing sides dig in for the winter. Soldiers resign themselves to spending Christmas in the trenches.
Centuries before, and thousands of miles away, another group of men was out in the fields at night.
That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep.
Christmas Eve, and the British troops are struck by a surreal and beautiful sight. Hundreds of tiny lights illuminating the enemy trenches. The Germans are putting up Christmas trees.
Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among the shepherds, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today."
As the guns fall silent, there's a new sound on the wind. From across no man's land comes the sound of singing. "Silent night, holy night." The opposing sides sing back in the darkness, trading verses, harmonizing with the enemy.
Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angel, singing praises to God.
Christmas morning, one by one, men dared to put their heads above the parapet, then stand on it. Now they're advancing towards the enemy, open hands outstretched. Soon, no man's land is full of officers, men of both sides, shaking hands, talking, exchanging souvenirs.
Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God's favour rests.
Someone brings out a ball, and hats and coats are thrown down, with dozens on either side. In between the shell craters, a shambolic game of football breaks out.
When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby, lying in a manger.
The following morning, the order has come through to resume firing. The men refuse or shoot at the sky, But then the artillery starts up again and shells begin to fall. The Christmas truce is gone. Nothing but a hopeful memory preserved in letters and diaries.
After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished.
Both the Christmas truce and the first Christmas story were breakthroughs of peace. The 1914 ceasefire could not last, but the peace that God sent to us in Jesus endures. The baby born on that silent night so long ago went on to model a life of love and forgiveness through his actions and his teaching. Through his death and resurrection, he reconciled us to God.
We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
This is the good news. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of deep darkness. A light has dawned. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you, Andy, and readers, and choir. It's wonderful sitting here. It's like the choir is singing to me. It's not so wonderful for them because I'm singing to them, but it's wonderful. It's wonderful to see you. Very warm welcome, particularly again if you're visiting. Are you all set? Are you ready for Christmas? Have you written your cards? Have you bought your presents? Have you wrapped your presents? Have you found the turkey recipe from last year yet? Then of course, are you ready to groan at the cracker jokes? Well, let me warm you up. So two snowmen are in a field. One turns to the other and says, Don't know about you, but I can smell carrots. Think about it. Snowmen. Oh, okay. So where's the groan? Never mind. Okay, did you know that Santa's not allowed to go down chimneys this year? It was declared unsafe by the Elf and Safety Commission. I'll stop now. See, these are some of the things we can expect at Christmas, and then there are things we can't expect. Has anybody here been interviewed by the Oxford Mail about Christmas? No, just me then. Okay, so here we go. You might have seen the article in the Whitney Gazette and the Oxford Times, no less, quoting me about Christmas carol services. So, and this, I need to tell you how this happened. Friday night, 8:30, my mobile goes. I pick it up and say hello, as you do. Now, I have to confess at this point, I had been testing the mulled wine for tonight. And I can say it's very good, actually. Three glasses, it's fantastic. No, I didn't really. Don't tell the bishop that. But as a reporter on the other end of the line asking me, why do people still go to carol services? And I thought, great question. I go because I'm the vicar. Paid. But why do people go to carol services? Is it our slick advertising? Is it, were you mugged with a mince pie this morning as you passed the church and people said come in? Were you badgered to come by a spouse or a neighbour? Or were you wanting to reconnect with something? Were you wanting to rediscover something of the story of Christmas? I was told that my answers were going to be in an article about Christmas carol services. And I thought that would mean there'd be lots of vicars in an article, sort of Charlbury and all sorts of vicars with articles with their quotes about Christmas. Actually, the article says, carol services highlight the real meaning of Christmas. There's a quote then from the Lord Mayor of Oxford about his carol service in the town hall. And then, just me. The Reverend Simon Kirby of St Mary's Church, Cogs Whitney, said the church will host two carol services, followed by traditional carol services on Christmas Eve. Sue's comment to me, because there's a whole quote then, Sue's comment to me, my dear wife Sue said, you were the only vicar in Oxfordshire stupid enough to answer his phone at 8:30 on a Friday night. She's a very discerning and wise woman. Goes on to say, and this is true, this is my quote, it's one of my favourite times of the year. I love it. It's wonderful seeing all the visitors coming in as well as our church family getting together and celebrating our Saviour at this time. He added it's a very significant time for the church in that we're remembering the birth of Christ. And then he says, the vicar says, it's our key season. I got it into the Oxford Times and the Whitney Gazette. Those of you who are visiting don't know, I've been going on at the church all month about this is our season. And I'm now in print saying it's our season. It's a time when people reconnect. And I said at the end, apparently I said, I don't remember saying this, but apparently many people find an awful lot of comfort in these services. And I hope you find comfort in tonight's service. I hope it helps you to connect or to reconnect with God, because actually that's why I'm here. That's why we're here. It's about a love and connection with God and his love for us. He wants you to know his great love for you. That's, my friends, the heart of the Christmas story. God's love for his world. We're going to watch a very short video now. See, Christmas starts with the power of love. That's what it starts with. That's what it started with when God sent his son into our world. And I want to take just a minute or two to try and reconnect us with that story. Recently, I was speaking to someone about what they were doing for Christmas and about faith. And they were pretty dismissive and said, I don't believe in all that stuff. I live and I believe in the real world. I believe in the real world. And it got me thinking, what sort of world is it that you believe in? What sort of world is this real world that you believe in? Because you only have to turn the news on to see humanity committing atrocities against other citizens of the world. Often for reasons of wanting more power or land or commodities. You see, here's what our real world is very good at doing. Our real world is very good at fighting. That's what our real world is very good at. And you know, sadly, at Christmas, often brings into our real Western consumer-focused world, do you know what it brings? It brings a rise in domestic abuse, a rise in relationship breakdowns, a rise in hospital admissions through alcoholic poisoning. It's a really tough time for people who are lonely or depressed. People have this image of what their perfect Christmas is going to be like, and they have a pressure to try and fulfill it and get the right presents and make it all happen. And they put pressure on themselves. And actually, at the end of the day, it becomes a pressure that leads to disappointment. And for many, Christmas is a huge anticlimax. See, left to our own devices, we don't make the world better. We make the real world worse. And into this mess of our real world, Jesus came. It starts with love. He came as Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Savior, Rescuer. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard of the Christmas truce. It's mentioned in that reading we had. The football match that our dramatic reading talked about took place 100 years ago. Sainsbury's have had a bit of stick for romanticising it, because it would have been a fairly hideous time, and the initial truce was so people could bury the bodies of the dead. But 100 years ago, in 1914, it was one of those times when we were demonstrating how good we were at fighting with each other. Millions of young men in their teens and 20s lost their lives, women as well. Many of them didn't really know why they were fighting. However, they gave their lives for their country and the people they loved. Two of my great uncles died in World War I, aged 24 and 28. And on Christmas Day 1914, there were a number of unofficial truces. A number of football matches were recorded. Now, to mark this, 100 years since those football matches, replicas of an active service, John's Gospel, have been created. An image should appear on the screen behind me. It was originally produced during World War I. Millions of copies of the New Testament. Gospels which tell the story of Jesus and of his church. They were issued to soldiers at training camps. They were distributed through charity tea huts, given to wounded soldiers by nurses or handed out by chaplains. And they were designed, as you can see, so they could be carried in the army's jacket, in the top pocket of an army jacket. And they had at the back hymns, Abide With Me and God Our Help in Ages Past and others. They were included in the back so that chaplains could hold services in the field. And each one in the front cover has this hand-printed message from the war hero and the former commander-in-chief of the forces, Lord Roberts. And this is what he said: I ask you to put your trust in God. He will watch over you and strengthen you. You will find in this little book guidance when you're in health, comfort when you're in sickness, and strength when you are in adversity. Now, as I've said, they were given out to hundreds, millions of these books were given out. Not all of them particularly wanted them. And one soldier wrote to the organization who gave it out, and he said this: when your small testaments were distributed on the common at Southampton, I, among others, accepted one in a more derisive than a complimentary manner. I little dreamed that I should use it and find in it great consolation in lonely hours. I've learnt to realize the great personality of the Savior. When at night I've been on duty alone with him by my side and the Germans but 30 yards away, I realized that I needed more than my own courage to stand the strain. When the shells of the enemy have burst periodically here at my feet, I've marveled at the fact of still being alive. You see, they were living in a very real world. What could be more real than facing death every day? In this book, in this gospel, Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This book has transformed lives. So they've come to know the fullness of God's love that we experience at Christmas. Another soldier was sent a small Bible book, and with time on his hands, he read and reread it, and despite never showing an interest in spiritual things before, the words sunk in, and he became a changed man. He started to sing the hymns in the back of the Bible. He'd walk up and down the trenches singing his hymns, so much so that he became known as Singing Jim. And during a reconnaissance mission, a young soldier from his company was wounded between the trenches. A volunteer was asked to step forward to bring him back. Singing Jim stepped forward. He reached the man under the cover of darkness and began crawling home with him on his back when a flare went up. And as the sky was lit, a sniper shot rang out and killed Singing Jim dead. In his pocket was a long letter to his wife about how he had come to Christ, encouraging her to do the same. The wounded man offered to take it back to England and deliver it in person, telling her how her husband had saved his life. He was given the letter and he did indeed deliver it, but his company of soldiers had one more request. While he was in England, could he pick up some copies of the book Singing Jim had been reading and had changed his life? See, the message of the gospel is a message of peace on earth, peace with God. It's very much a message about real life, with all of the challenges, all of the difficulties that we face. And in 1914, something very special happened through a song. The soldiers sung Silent Night to each other across the trenches. It's recorded, sung in English, sung in German. They played a football match. Two communities that had been shooting at each other came together. And what was significant about this? Well, it was Christmas Day. Because there's something about this moment. There's something about this day in history that can unite countries, communities, even enemies. Maybe it's the gift of the Saviour, the Prince of Peace, to a world 2,000 years ago. And I believe that gift that we celebrate at Christmas can still play a significant part this day, as it did 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Remember what happened 2,000 years ago? We've had it read to us. The angels appeared to the shepherds. You know the shepherds? They were famous. They were famous for being morally and physically filthy. They were notoriously, they were horrible. They resented their job, their lives, and indeed God. Who did the angels appear to first? These guys, the outcasts, the unclean. They were on the edge of society. See, we often say about Father Christmas, you know, have you been good this year? Have you been good this year? Have you? Have you been good this year? You see, the angels didn't ask whether these guys had been good this year. They knew they hadn't. There was nothing about being good enough. Rather, they said, God has come. A Saviour is waiting. You're not alone. You're loved. It's not about being right or good enough. It's about being loved. And maybe, just maybe, the Prince of Peace invites us to allow him to play a significant part in this carol service, in our lives, on this day. You see, as the message to us comes, there is a Prince of Peace. He has the ability to bring peace to us. Where there is guilt, as the Saviour of the world, he can give us forgiveness and a fresh start and new hope. Where there is confusion, as wonderful Counselor, he can bring direction. Here's the thing, it's not about what happens when we die. It's about what happens as we live in the real world. The world that Dan described, the world that isn't always roses. But that in that real world, God meets with us in our real world and makes life better. The Christmas gift isn't for a moment, even for a day, it's for a lifetime. The God of all creation sends the gift of his Son. And in 1914, there was something in the opposing factions of war that recognizes his birthday, the gift of new life that he brought to the world, the peace that couldn't last on that day 100 years ago, but that many people have discovered can last now. So what is my job as a vicar? It's to point you to Jesus. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm at this carol service. I want to point you to the one who loves you, who wants the very best for you in the reality of your life and wants to make a difference and take a weight off you. And here's the thing. If you live in our parish, I'm your vicar. Whether you come once a year or once a week, I'm your vicar. And as your vicar, I want to answer the questions you have. And if you've got questions about God, about this message, about how it can be possible to know a God today, I would love to answer them. My details are on the service sheet. Email me. I'd be very happy to meet and talk with you. See, my hope for all of us this Christmas is we would know hope, whatever our situation. Love, joy, and peace. And if tonight you'd like to find out more about this message, then please, I've got quite a lot of these little books, these replicas, and I would love to give you one to take away and read. It is quite small print, so you do need your reading glasses. But I would love to give you one if you'd like to take it away and read it. At the back is a page that many of the men filled in. For some of them, it was how they were identified once they were killed. It was a decision form. And it says, being convinced that I'm a sinner, and all that means is that I know I get it wrong before God. And believing that Christ died for me, I receive him as my personal saviour, and with his help I intend to confess him before men. And it goes on and says a Bible verse, to all who received him, all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You don't have to wait. The Prince of Peace is real. He's here. And I'm going to pray for us now that this Christmas we would all know his presence with us. Please do join me as I pray. And I just encourage you, as Dan did, Jesus provide. Encourage you to consider praying a prayer to ask God to become more real in your life. Let's just close our eyes. As I said, Jesus is here, he's alive, and you can speak to him tonight. And if you'd like to, just echo this silently in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things in my life that have been wrong. If anything comes to mind, you could ask his forgiveness. I now turn away from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you came to our world at Christmas. You died for me on the cross, and I receive your forgiveness. I trust you with my life. And I ask you, please, to come and to fill me with your Spirit, to be with me this Christmas and forever. Amen. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest on you and remain with you this Christmas and always. Amen. God bless you. Have a very good Christmas.